Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Bring the energy!
It's happening.
Get it.
For your lives.
It's time for MP on the mic.
Cunning, capable, agile, flexible.
It gets me pumped and it gets me going.
Michael Phillips is...
Let's go!
MP on the mic.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide, as always, on the free Odyssey app, Roadshow Thursday. What is up, Richmond? How we doing? And I'm so excited. It's actually Wednesday. It's not Thursday. I got ahead of myself there for a second. Happy Wednesday to everybody. We are in Blacksburg, Virginia. Virginia Tech Football Media Day today starts at noon. Coach Brent Pry will chat with reporters. We've got lots of great interviews lined up for the afternoon. You'll hear those Friday. We'll do a Friday Hokie Spectacular. Hokie-tacular? I don't know. We'll figure out what to call it. Should be a great program for you, so you can look forward to that on Friday. Exciting to be down here, of course. Got a chance to catch up with my guy, Dwayne Yancey. He's the writer for Cardinal News down here. That's like the Richmonder, but for Southwest Virginia. They've been around for a little while longer, too. So cool to catch up with him. Cool to be on the road. We haven't done a road show in a little while. We'll be doing a lot of those in the coming weeks because we've got Commanders football coming up. That'll start soon. Commanders practicing in 20 minutes out in Foxborough. Joint practices start today. Commanders and the Patriots will, of course, get you out there for a look at what's going on. We'll fill you in as we get updates, and of course AWOD Radio. We'll have all the latest for you, news, notes, everything from Washington Commanders practice against the New England Patriots. I'm trying to figure out if I need to start with last night or if we need to build the last night. And I think I'm going to wait. I think I'm going to make you wait for the second segment. Last night, I went to the amphitheater to see Mumford & Sons, the Railroad Revival Tour. Here's the bit. They travel around on the train to places. They play music. Good bit. Good band. Phenomenal show. My first trip to the Allianz Amphitheater. So a lot to share about that. I think the main takeaway, I don't want to spoil the next segment. The main takeaway, I had said... Yeah, I mean, the beer prices are ridiculous, but what I said was, y'all aren't going to catch me drinking one. I'm not going to be part of the problem. I'm going to be a part of the solution. And what I learned will shock you. Will make you wait for that much. That'll be in the next segment or one of the next segments. What happened yesterday was, we started the show and I said we're going to talk about Terry McLaurin. And then about 30 minutes later, I talked about Terry McLaurin. So we're gonna try to live up to our promises today. Of course, breaking Commanders news would change that. We'll bring you Commanders interviews as they happen. Dan Quinn, if he addresses the media. I think that's all going to be after practice, which is going to be about 12:30. So that's going to be in AWOD territory. AWOD, of course, with an abbreviated show today. So we've got Flying Squirrels Baseball coming at you at 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. first pitch for the Flying Squirrels. Hey, Flying Squirrels off to a great start in Erie. That has not been a great spot for them historically. So we love to see the Squirrels take the first one in Erie. Our guys, Trey and Blaine, on the call last night. Always good to get the series opening W in the books. So Trey and Blaine on the call again today, 1 o'clock, matinee game. We'll look forward to hearing them from Erie, and we'll look forward to cheering the Squirrels on. That's our team. We could have some relevant baseball pretty soon. We're 6 days away from the Squirrels coming back to Richmond. That'll be next Tuesday. Squirrels against Altoona next Tuesday. So you can look forward to that. Only 18 games left at the Diamond, as Trey shared with us yesterday. They've done a phenomenal job with paying tribute to the history at the Diamond, paying tribute to the legacy, the 40 years there. it's a touchy thing because you have to acknowledge we're all happy it's over. We're all going to line up to push the button to blow that place up. And also, a generation of Richmonders grew up there, learned to love baseball there, learned to be Braves fans there. I think about some of my colleagues. So, you know, I'm 40. The people who are 40 in Richmond, if you grew up here, if you're OG Richmond, you're a Braves fan. And you're a Braves fan because you grew up watching Chipper Jones, Greg Maddux, Tom Glavin. One, they rolled through here at the Diamond, and that's awesome. But then two, you watched them every night on TBS because that was a new thing. Not to date myself. Look, yesterday in the opening segment, we explained. I had to explain to Hazel what the Drudge Report was. That didn't make me feel young. That did not make me feel young. So we're not going to go down that road again, especially on the roadshow day, where I feel old enough already because I drove to Blacksburg last night after the show. What we had back in the day, we had about 30 to 40 cable channels, television channels available to us. If you want to feel really old, explain that to a kid, as I explained to my kids. Like, so when the show was on, we had to watch it. If we didn't watch it then, we didn't get to see it. That was how television worked back then. TBS, WGN. Those are the super stations, right? You had ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC. Those four were locked in. You had two extras. You had TBS, the superstation out of Atlanta, with the Braves games. And you had WGN out of Chicago with the Cubs games. Obviously, with the Braves ties here, you made a lot of Braves fans. Somehow, I grew up a Kansas City Royals fan. They were not on any of the superstations. They're still not on any of the superstations. But an intense Richmond influence on the team. And one of those weird things are like, if there was one player from Richmond on the Kansas City Royals, you'd be like, huh, okay, that's kind of cool. That's my guy. At one point, there were three. We're down to two now. Vinny Pasquantino rakes the ball. That's neither here nor there. But anytime we can drop the Kansas City Royals in conversation, we have to do it. We'll go around the NFL today. Shedeur Sanders will start the first preseason game for the Cleveland Browns. We will weigh in on that. We'll do some Terry McLaurin talk. Nothing changes day to day. I feel like I want to address maybe an ancillary element of the Terry McLaurin situation. Buddy Baker is Terry McLaurin's agent. And he's been around a lot. And I think that, you know, in this Twitter world, the social media world, you see pictures. Yeah, there's Terry. There's Buddy Baker. That's his agent. He's been vilified a bit online. And that's correct. Is kind of the short answer on that. That's correct. His job is to be vilified. Terry's job is to stay above the fray. And I think he's done a phenomenal job of that. We've seen him at the open practices at camp. We've seen him signing autographs for fans. We've seen him interacting, right, with Josh Harris, giving him some love. Jayden Daniels' mom, who's her own social media topic, of course. And I think there's... this misconception that Buddy Baker is keeping Terry from signing and getting back to the team. So we'll dispel that because that's not true. That's correct that everybody thinks that. That means they're doing their job correctly. Buddy Baker's job is to be the bad guy here. Terry McLaurin's job is to be the good guy here. Terry McLaurin needs everybody to think, man, I'd sign for a dollar. I just love playing football. My agent says I got to hold out for the best deal possible. At times like this, you remember who works for who. Buddy works for Terry. Now, there's advice. There's a back and forth. There's all of that. I certainly don't mean to discredit any of that because that's a very real thing that happens. The agent, you know, gives advice to the player, and we saw that. What was that? Bryce Harper, right? In D.C., people were like, oh, Bryce would play here. He'd sign the long-term deal here, but Scott Boras won't let him. Scott Boras is going to make him go to free agency. Then Juan Soto comes along. You got to trade Juan Soto. You can't sign him to a contract. That's how Scott Boras works. Scott Boras won't let him. Juan Soto hired Scott Boras. Scott Boras can't boss Juan Soto around. Or Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper got in the commissioner's face. You think Bryce Harper doesn't have the wherewithal to get in his agent's face to say, hey, I like being in D.C. I want to play for the Nationals. Work this out for me, Scotty. And Scott Boras can say, I don't like that. I don't like that one bit, Bryce. You need to hold out. You need to get a better deal. Bryce is a player. Bryce can say, I don't care. I'm staying here. Ink the deal. I want to get this done. I want to stay here. He did not do that. Juan Soto did not do that. That's why you hire Scott Boras. Not so he can boss you around, because you want to get top dollar and you know how to get there. Now, one of the wrinkles here is Buddy Baker is a bit of an unknown as these things go. And I do think that's an interesting element to the Terry McLaurin contract talks, is there's no history there. There's no, okay, his clients have done X, Y, or Z. Whenever this contract gets signed, and we're still hopeful this contract will get signed. Whenever this contract gets signed, it will be the biggest deal he's ever negotiated. So I get the social media chat. He wants to make a name for himself through this deal, because I'm sure that's correct. I'm sure he absolutely does. But remember, he works for Terry, not the other way around. It's day whatever of Terry McLaurin watch. I don't know when we started. I don't know when we'll finish. I hope we're done soon, though, because it's dragging, man, and is bringing us all down. And we should be celebrating what appears to be a phenomenal Commanders season on deck. We'll remind you, hear the preseason game Friday in New England on 96.1, because we'll have Squirrels Baseball here with Trey and Blaine. We're down in Blacksburg. Won't do a ton of tech talk today. We'll do a little bit. Maybe we'll start the 11 o'clock hour with it. That's what I wrote down on this piece of paper. Those things go out the window when we start talking football. You never know. I want to take you out to the amphitheater, give you my thoughts on that. A little more Commanders talk. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, you can call him Bill. I gave a take on him yesterday. I gave a fleshed out take on the air here, which was, I think he'll be inactive for week one. And I explained to y'all why that was. I went on with my friends Grant and Danny yesterday. It was Grant and Toby, but I love both of them too. Was on with them at 4 o'clock yesterday. You heard that here on The Fan. Kind of gave the quick version of that. Did a little Twitter back and forth with some people over that. I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum, to steal a phrase there. I am on the Bill bandwagon. I think he's going to be very good. I'll go into the reasons why I think he's going to be inactive in week one. It's got nothing to do with his talent. What I see is, and there's levels of football fandom. Like, level one is like, you love a team and you love the players. That's how I approach it. This is a Commanders-centric show. We talk about the Commanders. We view things through the lens of, how do they affect the Washington Commanders? That includes dunking on the Dallas Cowboys. That's a tradition around here. There's level three at the top is, I'm a gambler, right? BetQL, we have a program for that. It airs when we don't air and on weekends. BetQL talks about that, right? Every day, what does this mean for gambling? And then level two is the in-between, which is fantasy football. A lot of people have fantasy football teams. They want to know, who should I get on my fantasy football team? What does this mean for my fantasy football team? And of course, anytime you see buzz around a guy, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, obviously, number one for that, you say, okay, should I draft him? When should I draft him? And everybody wants to be first on a guy. So there's a lot of that. Oh, you got to draft Bill, got to draft Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. And I just want to say, from a football perspective, I don't think he's going to get the use y'all think he's going to get. Now, if he might, and if he does, that's really good, because that's another Adam Peters steal in the draft. But I'll lay out why I don't think he was. We'll get to that. The Commanders are in New England, joint practice with the Patriots today. We're in Blacksburg, road show. That's why it doesn't sound as good as normal. Hazel's not down here. AWOD's not here with the fancy equipment. It's just me. Y'all got to deal with me for two more hours. We'll take you to AWOD at noon. Flying Squirrels Baseball, AAA pregame show, 12:35. First pitch in Erie, 105. Squirrels take game one of the series yesterday. We love to see it. We're back with more after this. Hey, Roadshow, I don't have my people. We're going to sort this out. We'll put on a good show for you. Thank you for joining us. We're back after this on your home of the Squirrels and the Commanders in Richmond, Virginia. This is 910 The Fan. Nat 105.1 FM. Worldwide on the free Odyssey app. I'm MP. Some people call me Michael Phillips. You call me whatever you want. Just call me on the air until noon. That's when AWOD Radio takes over. Abbreviated program today. AWOD will hand it off to Richmond Flying Squirrels Baseball. AAA pregame show comes your way. 12:35. First pitch in Erie. Trey and Blaine on the call. 1:05 p.m. Looking at the calendar, last day game in August. Maybe last day game for the Squirrels, period. Obviously, we got double headers, rainouts, things like that. You can't predict the future. It might be your last chance to catch a little day baseball on the radio while you go about your day with Trey and Blaine. I don't have to tell you, if you're a regular listener of the show, how important the Erie series is. Erie has knocked the Squirrels out of the playoffs in each of the last 2 years. Big series there. Squirrels fighting, clawing, trying to get back into that top spot. If they can tread water in Erie, if they can split the series, we'd certainly love for them to go 4-2, 5-1, 6-0. Those are all great outcomes as well. They're up 1-0 on the Seawolves. If they can hold that, if they can come back looking good, big series next week at the Diamond. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your free time. It's a free country. You can do whatever you want. But I'm going to tell you, the Altoona Curve is in Richmond next week, and Altoona is sitting where the Squirrels want to sit. They're a good baseball team. They're holding that playoff spot right now. There is going to be some meaningful August baseball happening one more time at the Diamond next week. Got to get there first. Got to get from here to there. But if we can get from here to there, that's going to be a really fun week next week. Trey and Blaine will be on the call all week long here, starting with today's matinee, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday as well before the Squirrels come home. Homestand next week, only 18 more chances to see the Richmond Flying Squirrels at the Diamond. We're with you until noon, as mentioned. We don't sound as good as normal, as crisp as normal today. Important reason for that. Roadshow today. We're up in Blacksburg. It's Virginia Tech Football Media Day. Normally, I travel with AWOD. Don't leave home without him, I believe was the American Express motto back in the day. And he brings like the whole big equipment, the thing. I've been doing this show for, I mean, we're coming up on the 2 year anniversary of this show. So I've been doing the show for a minute, 2 years. Here in a few weeks after Labor Day, we'll celebrate the anniversary, 2 year anniversary of this show. If you bet the over, it paid out a long time ago. I'm not a radio guy. I don't have all the big fancy equipment. And here's the thing. I've never asked for the big fancy equipment. I'm sure they would hook me up with the big fancy equipment. I got the little fancy equipment. I think this sounds reasonably good. I think the content's good. I think we put on a good show for you every day. I love talking with you guys. I love doing the show, telling you what's on my mind, telling you what's going on, taking you around with me, going out to Blacksburg for Media Day, for instance. So thanks for putting up with me. Hazel puts up with me too. Thank you, Hazel, back in the studio today, pulling the long shift here, getting ready for Flying Squirrels Baseball with Trey and Blaine. Again, 12:35. On that Virginia Tech Football Media Day today, we'll do a little. I want to dive into that real quick before you get back to the Commanders, because I've been semi-pessimistic. That's why I'm out here, because nothing cures pessimism like being around optimism. I know for some people, like they see that and they get more pessimistic. That's not me. I think everybody here is going to be pretty optimistic. And there have been some national people picking good things for Virginia Tech football this year. When they did the ACC preseason predictions, somebody gave the Hokies a first place vote. Y'all, that's insane. I'm not here to tell you that's normal or that should be celebrated. That's not. That's insane. But I'm here to tell you there are people who see this and not with maroon colored glasses, people who are professional analysts who say, yeah, this is a team to watch. Okay. I'll tell you why I don't see it first. Last year, I still feel burned from last year because we were told that Virginia Tech had the number one continuity factor in all of college football. Teams are getting guys in the portal. They're losing guys to the portal. They're getting guys. Everybody shuffles the deck every year. Everybody gets a new team. The number of player minutes returning on the Virginia Tech football team last year, you know, minutes played in the previous season or snaps played in the previous season. However you sliced it, the Hokies were number one in the country last year. And I drank the Kool-Aid. All right, that's exciting. The continuity will pay off. I think continuity does pay off a lot of the time. Ask your UVA friends about George Welsh, right? What good things happen when you stick with a coach? They stuck with Tony Bennett. Good things happened. I think there's a lot of like, oh, we got to change things. One of the big boosters is mad. They cut a check to fire somebody. We got to change everything. I love continuity. And I really want to love Brent Pry, because I think Brent Pry is the perfect representative for Hokie football in the year 2025. He's out there with the fans. He's personable. He's got that, like, I grew up in Salem and I smoked four packs a day at the age of 11 voice, the gravelly voice. And Brent Pry, Hokie football, we're gonna be tough. Tough, hard nose. I love that. I want that in a Virginia Tech football coach. And yet, last year, continuity, togetherness, that stuff should show itself, ideally, in close games, in last-second games, in games decided by one possession. And nobody's been worse than Brent Pry in those one-possession games. In those tight games. And that's what I'm skeptical about. Continuity again this year. Kyron Drones is back this year. This is not personal to Kyron Drones, because I like Kyron Drones. I think he's a good quarterback. He's not Logan Thomas, right? Y'all hear that. Some of you can get mad. Tell me I insulted him by saying that. Logan Thomas was a good quarterback at Virginia Tech, right? Logan Thomas kind of came in the shadow of Tyrod Taylor, who was better. The Michael Vick afterglow was still happening. Let's call that what it was. If Logan Thomas came around today, they'd build him a statue. It's another step back to Kyron Drones. It doesn't sound like they're going to play Pop Watts. I'm going to get to the bottom of that today. We'll air that for you when we come back tomorrow or Friday. But I've been sold the continuity thing once. And it turned out the continuity was just a way of saying, we got guys other teams don't want. That's why they didn't get poached in the portal. Hopefully, 3 years of continuity will get the job done. Our lives are better when the Hokies are good. I think the Hokie season is not hard to predict here. You've got a really big game in week two at home against Vanderbilt. Vandy is a dangerous team. Diego Pavia, he did some things last year. He's back for his 900th season of college football. I don't know what the rules are anymore. Nobody knows what the rules are anymore. He's going to be dangerous in Blacksburg. They won in overtime last year, you remember, in Nashville. You go to a stretch, NC State, Georgia Tech. Man, trap game, trap game, trap game. Boom, boom, through the ACC. those are the games Hokie teams need to win to be where they want to be. And I think we'll get a feel for this season. If they lose against Miami, if they lose against Florida State, I'm not going to be mad. I promise. I was mad last year after the Miami loss for reasons that had absolutely nothing to do with them losing to Miami and everything to do with replay ruining college football as we know it. We're over it, though. That's neither here nor there. What matters is, do you win the 50-50 games? Do you win the games against those middle-of-the-pack teams? NC State, middle-of-the-pack team. Georgia Tech, middle-of-the-pack team. Do you win those games? I don't need the Hokies to beat Clemson every year. That's a different world. That's a different planet. That's not reasonable. But I want the Hokies to be better than average. And they got a lot of early season games against average teams. So we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. All right. One more segment here. We'll get to the top of the hour at 11 o'clock. We'll be with you until noon. AWOD Radio takes over. We're in Blacksburg Roadshow today. MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Flying Squirrels 1-0 winners. 1-0 in Erie. We'll take it however they get it. Didn't score until the top of the ninth. Dramatic, low-scoring game. How will today unfold? Trey and Blaine, we'll have the call for you. AAA pregame show starts at 12:35. First pitch, 1:05. However they do, they're doing better than the pro team up the road in D.C. My goodness, Mackenzie Gore shelled yesterday. The Nats, 16-7 losers to the Oakland A's, who are not world beaters themselves. The Sacramento A's, excuse me. That is brutal. Day after Grant Paulson says they've hit rock bottom, they hit rock bottomer. I remember that from my time covering the Redskins back in the mid-2010s. You could never declare rock bottom because tomorrow was always a new day. Now, I don't think the same level of dysfunction pervades the Nationals right now, but what I do know is that that is a tough, tough, tough team to be on. When you have lost hope, when you're struggling every game, game in and game out, it's tough to get yourself motivated to go to the park each day. It's tough to get yourself motivated to play Major League Baseball because it's a long season and it wears on you and it grinds on you. And we've talked about that before, that, you know, back in the day, right, taking the greenies, getting yourself up, game in, game out. It is so much tougher to do when the season's over, and the season's over for these guys. And the manager's gone, and we're watching a full throwing in of the towel, and it's tough to watch. Flying Squirrels very much in the postseason chase. We'll keep an eye on them in Erie. Hopefully they'll come back with a series win, give us some fun against Altoona next week. That would be some meaningful, significant August baseball in Richmond, Virginia. We would love to see that. Washington Commanders, the other team we host, in addition to the Hokies and the Squirrels, and VCU basketball, of course. Let's not forget VCU basketball. It's not their season, but we always got our eye on them. They made portal moves this year. We're really going to have to dig deep to learn about that team. I saw my guy, Zach Joachim, at the concert last night. We hung out for a little while watching Mumford and Sons. Be excited to get him back on the show, have his regular Wednesday appearances, which would be wrapping up right about now when we normally do that on Wednesday. So we'll get back to that soon enough. Commanders are in Foxborough. Roadshows for everybody today. Squirrels in Erie, we're in Blacksburg. Commanders in Foxborough, joint practice ongoing right now against the New England Patriots. We'll fill you in as details emerge from that. They're on the field with the Patriots, running through the drills, the joint practice, setting up a preseason game Friday night. You'll hear that on our sister station, 96.1. A special treat this year, Commanders are growing the pregame show to 3 hours. I don't blame them. The team's good. Postgame show will also be 3 hours. Now, I think that's going to feature Fred Smoot. And I'll say this, I love me some Fred Smoot. He's fun. He does a good post-game show. be something for us to listen to after the games. And I mean, good on those guys. They're going to be burning the midnight oil, though, because we've got a lot of night games. Week two, Thursday night, are in Green Bay. I've done those post-game shows after the night games. It goes late, 3 hours after a midnight finish. Is 3 a.m., it turns out. You can add that up. It's a late night there. Fred Smoot, born to talk, though. Love listening to that guy on the pregame and the postgame. Guys I'm watching for the Commanders out there at the minicamp this week. Look, everybody's got their eye on Bill. Ja'Cory Kroski Merida, we talked about his nickname yesterday, nicknamed after Little Bill, the Bill Cosby cartoon character. He's grown up now. He's on the Washington Commanders. He plays NFL football for a living. And he is the guy who's generating a lot of buzz in this training camp. And I'm not here to throw cold water on that. He looks great. I'd say the other guy who's drawn that level of attention for his play on the field is Michael Gallup. People are talking, ooh, Michael Gallup, he's got a step. Now, I don't know that there's a roster spot for him to win, especially you heard Cliff Kingsbury the other day raving about Luke McCaffrey. So that's going to be tricky as well. How do you make room for the guys you want to make room for? Who's going to be active, who's inactive? Now, Luke McCaffrey, he's listed as the returner right now. Now, I also think Jalen Lane's going to get a shot at that job. So who knows? They may be competing to be active on game days. I'd assume Jalen Lane's active as the returner because I think having a return is super important. Now, if these guys fall in love with Luke McCaffrey and Luke McCaffrey can do returns, now Jalen Lane's fighting for being active on game day. That changes things. I think they'll find a way for it to happen. You got Noah Brown coming in too. The important thing is that you're going to get Terry McLaurin active on game days because, man, we need some Terry McLaurin around here. No better time than the present to announce you got an extension brewing with Terry McLaurin. Defensive line, very excited to watch the defensive line here against the New England Patriots because the Patriots' offensive line last year was not world class, was not gold star caliber in New England last year. They struggled. You remember that preseason game. That was tough to watch. Jacoby Brissett, man, couldn't even get a look, couldn't get any time, and that was against the Commanders' backups. It was tough for the Patriots last year. They delayed putting Drake May in. They delayed that because they were worried he's going to get his head knocked off, and I don't think it was an unfounded fear. So moving forward to this year, the Patriots have improved. They've used their draft picks. They've gotten guys. They've bolstered that. But at the same time, this is a good test for a Commander's defensive line that people have been raving about. People have been, maybe not raving, but people have been, you know, pleasantly surprised by their performances so far during training camp. It's a good opportunity for them to back that up, to show they can do it in a game-like environment in these drills. This is as close to game action as we're going to see between now and the season. Speaking of, the Bengals are preseason game number two for the Commanders, and they announced they're going to play their starters for a healthy portion of that game in D.C. Now, I don't think Dan Quinn's going to match, but I think that's the right move for the Bengals. You remember last year they started with that head-scratching loss to the Patriots, which did not age well either. Sometimes in week one you're like, oh, did we sleep on how good another team is? No, we didn't. The Patriots stunk. They were bad, and yet the Bengals take that loss, ends up costing them a spot in the playoffs. They finish one game out of the playoffs. I don't know that they could have made noise in the playoffs, but I know that when you have Joe Burrow, who's a top four quarterback in the National Football League, if you don't make the playoffs, it's a big deal. You got to shake up the roster. You got to get to where you can be in playoff contention next year. You only get so many of those in the NFL, so many of those chances. And especially with Joe Burrow, you know, they're playing cheap with Trey Hendrickson. I understand why they're doing it. I understand why they want to start Faz Zach Taylor doing that in Cincy. I think it's important for them to get off to a hot start, and it means we'll get a chance to see a lot of guys, especially defensively, get some reps against Cincinnati's number one, because I don't think Von Miller's going to play in those games. I don't think Bobby Wagner's going to play in those games. They know what they're doing. Guys with raves. Von Miller is a guy with raves so far in this training camp for sure. Other guys we're watching this week. I mentioned Luke McCaffrey briefly. Cliff Kingsbury called it a night and day difference. I'm excited to see that. I don't know that we got a chance to see that when Awad and I were up there. I know Awad's going to do a second tour of duty up there. Hopefully, maybe see a little bit more when he's up there. I don't know that we saw that. I don't know that we had the chance to see that. I don't not trust Cliff Kingsbury, but also he's a football coach. And football coaches have been known to motivate players or, you know, create subterfuge in their own ways. Lot to watch. At backup, I'm kind of curious about Josh Johnson and Sam Hartman now. I'm wondering if Josh Johnson was signed as a reaction to Sam Hartman getting shoulder surgery, and those two are actually going to compete for the number three job. I'm also curious about what's up with Marcus Mariota, who hasn't done a ton of practicing. He's been pretty limited so far. So a lot of questions to tidy up there as well. Should be a fun day out there in Foxborough. That's building towards the Friday night preseason game, which you'll hear on 96.1, because we got Squirrels baseball to get to here. Squirrels trying to fight and claw their way back into a redemption story. Brutal first half of the season, but they've turned it around so far. Can they keep the momentum going against Erie? You'll hear it live. First pitch 105 today on The Fan. We'll step aside back with more after this. You're listening to Richmond's Home of the Squirrels. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Road show for us. We're in Blacksburg. It's Virginia Tech football media day. Looking forward to learning about the Hokies, how they will do this year. Road show for the Squirrels. They're in Erie. Trey Wilson's always on the road somewhere. He had quite the weekend. New York City and then Pittsburgh on Monday to see Justin Verlander. He's settled in with the Squirrels now. Ready, locked in, long week ahead in Erie, but potentially a productive week as well. That's the team that's knocked the Squirrels out of the playoffs each of the last 2 years, and now Richmond's fighting and clawing their way back into it. If they can, tread some water in Erie, they come back home. Very consequential series against Altoona next week. Also, 6 of the 18 remaining chances to see the Flying Squirrels at the Diamond this year. Not counting whatever the playoffs might bring. That'd be kind of wild to get a playoff thing. I don't think we're going to have... Now, I say, you know, the thought of the playoffs could preempt like a crazy last night at the Diamond where people are like walking off with stuff and stealing stuff and all that. That's not going to happen though, because VCU is going to need that stadium next year. So it won't be the last baseball games at the Diamond, because I don't believe CarMax Park will be ready for the VCU baseball team in February. I think it'll open up for the Squirrels when they start, when big league training camp breaks in April. So we'll still have baseball at the Diamond at least one more time before they blow it up or whatever it is they're going to do with it. That's the roadshow for the Squirrels. Washington Commanders are up in Foxborough practicing against the New England Patriots. Joint practice. Mike Vrabel calling the shots up there now after a little head coaching switch. John Mayo got the rough end of the deal. I don't think there's any question about that. And also, I think one of the hallmarks of leadership is you recognize a mistake as quickly as possible. Make the decision to switch course as quickly as possible. Robert Kraft should have hired Vrabel last year, said, look, I promised this guy a chance to be coach. It didn't work out. Now we're moving on. Didn't give him all the resources to be successful, everything he needed to be successful, but they got the right guy in there, especially to continue the Belichick legacy, especially in a place that values that legacy and values Bill Belichick's contributions to football, which is not a thing that happens everywhere in America. Not everybody's on that. Let's celebrate Bill Belichick's contributions to football train. We celebrate Dan Quinn's contributions to football, especially last year. Him and Joe Witt have their work cut out for him today at joint practices, because it is a Patriots team with a lot of jobs available. I would not characterize Commanders camp as being one where a lot of jobs will be won and lost. You can run down the list. I don't believe, and this has got me in hot water the last 24 hours, I don't believe the running back spot is up for grabs. I like Jacory Kroski Merritt as much as the next guy. I really do. And the fact that this is the third segment today where I've said I love Jacory Kroski Merritt tells you there's something up there, right? My I love Jacory Kroski Merritt as much as you do shirt answers a lot of questions that my I love Jacory Kroski Merritt shirt as much as you shirt seems to be posing, whatever it is. All right, Roadshow. We're not sharp. I need to be in studio with Hazel to be sharp. That's all right. Or with Adam on the comrades. We'll be sharp eventually. We'll get the road shows back going again. I'm solo today, though. Solo down in Blacksburg. So you got to put up with what you get today. I think he's good. I think he's good. Bill, Jacory Kroski Merritt. I think he's good. I also think that job is not up for grabs. I think it's Austin Eckler and Brian Robinson. If Brian Robinson is not the guy in week one, man, that would be a twist. I don't know that I'd hate it, but it'd be a twist for sure. I think he will get the opportunity to do it, especially you got the Giants pass rush in week one. I don't think you're going to take a lot of chances. I think you're going to play it safe there. And, you know, we have to indulge the possibility that Terry McLaurin won't be there, which is really cause to play it safe for sure. The Junkies, of course, have the Terry meter out. We don't have props yet. We're on the road, so we can't have props. We'll get to props eventually. We're not going to let the Junkies outdo us. Don't worry about that. Bid season's over, but hey, yo, always bidding. Always be bidding. ABB. It's always bid season for the Junkies. They got the Terry McLaurin meter. We'll answer that back. That's not a spot that's up for grabs. On the offensive line, I think Josh Connerly is fighting for a spot at right tackle. I think Sam Cosmi, when he's healthy, walks back into his spot. I think that's about it. I don't think there's a lot of spots up for grab on the offense. Tight end, not up for grabs. Now, if Terry doesn't play, you got a potential wide receiver switch. As it is, the only competition here is for wide receiver three, as Noah Brown taking on all comers, right? You've got Michael Gallup in that mix. You've got, you know, the rookies in that mix. You've got Luke McCaffrey in that mix. You've got a lot of guys fighting for that third spot. Jalen Lane, of course, Virginia Tech in that mix. You've got a lot of guys in that mix, but I also think it's hard to sell units. It's hard to move the needle on the radio doing wide receiver three debates. On the other hand, the Patriots have a lot of jobs to give out this year. So I do think from a desire, impact, importance perspective, this is a really important joint practice for them, and it's not as important for the Commanders. We'll see how that plays out, and I'm curious how that plays out. And I think the returns will be interesting. And look, preseason football, we whine about it, we complain about it, but we're going to watch it, and it'll be a chance to maybe see Jaden Daniels. We'll let Dan Quinn weigh in on that as well. We mentioned college football. Other broader football news, this ESPN thing that happened yesterday. ESPN has been not purchased, but semi-acquired by the NFL. And the NFL Network has been subsumed into the ESPN empire. So the NFL is going to take a stake in ESPN. Now, I'm curious. ESPN has found friction over the years with their NFL coverage because, look, Adam Schefter is not somebody who troubles NFL PR and brass, right? He does a great job with what he does, and he breaks stories. Sometimes stories they don't want out right away, but also he largely works colors within the lines. ESPN's got some other guys, though, Don Van Natta, Seth Wickersham, who do some in-depth reporting on the owners. Now, the owners own the NFL, and now the NFL's got a stake in ESPN. I'll be curious to watch that situation develop, but I think that's an interesting one worth watching here. There's very little true independent journalism covering the NFL. Newspapers have been gutted. All of the TV networks are in bed with the NFL now. They all have game packages. They all show, you know, the Netflixes or the late comers into the game. FanDuel, DraftKings, right? A couple places that have gotten into the journalism game a little bit. One of the, you know, whoever Shams is with or, you know, Kay Adams, whatever it is, they have to keep their relationships sharp with the NFL as well. not an everything, but it's a something. It's worth monitoring for sure as the NFL continues to just grow and dominate across all medium. There's no league like it in the country, and I would argue in the world, because soccer is so fractured. Maybe like the cricket league in India, something like that. But there's really no league like it that just completely consumes America's attention, as it will ours. The product's good. We can gripe, we can complain, and we do. But the product's always good. We're out here in Blacksburg. It's Virginia Tech Football Media Day. We'll do the Hokie Palooza show on Friday. We'll air a lot of these interviews for you. We'll sprinkle some of them in on Thursday. Give your observations. Get a chance to watch practice for a little bit today as well. We'll do all that, chat with some special guests. That will happen after this show is over, because we got to get you out to the AAA pregame show. A little bit AWOD, 35 minutes AWOD, then 12:35. Start a Flying Squirrels baseball 1-0 winners last night over Erie. And this would be a nice series for them to have as we continue the push towards meaningful postseason baseball meaningful late season baseball in Richmond, Virginia. We'll step aside. We'll put a bow on this thing on the other side. You're listening to Richmond's home for Flying Squirrels Baseball. This is 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM.